For those who've been here the last couple of weeks, you're aware that we've been, we had a women's retreat. When I say we, the women, the men didn't have a women's retreat. Although we wish we were there, right, men? And so we're sharing progressive testimonies each week, and just to hear more of what God did during that time. So, Melissa, you want to take it from here?
There are quite a few, and I don't know if it's going to take a year to share it all, but I'd love the mother of our church to come up. Speaking about the bride, the Lord Jesus actually has been speaking and sent a dream to Marguerite about the bride.
For a long time, I've wanted to have a dream, and I thought maybe only men get dreams. And every night when I go to bed, I would say, Lord, if I have a dream tonight, let it be about your kingdom. So every night I would pray that. And finally, it was fulfilled the night we came back from the retreat. That night, I went to bed, I said the same thing, and then just before I woke up in the morning, I had a dream. And in that dream, I was going to a banquet, and the speaker was speaking on preparing to be the bride of Christ, preparing from the inside out, which is exactly what has been happening. We've been prepared from the inside out. And as I looked around those who were going in, I saw many people from New Heritage going in. And I told this when we had our breakfast, and Melissa had some other ideas that go with this, and maybe she can share those.
Could you say that again?
Well, you know, you had some other feelings that were part of this dream that I wasn't sensing.
And probably a few of us others did too. I also had a dream that was very similar to this a couple years ago, but just being that bride, and what he said today about, we went to a wedding yesterday, and the, you know, just when that veil comes off and he sees us, who we really are, he actually has seen our insides too, from the inside out, and it's very important to him and to his heart that he has our heart. That's our inside. He has our heart. His spirit lives in us, but he has our heart, and he wants to start there. Anything else? What else did you think of? Okay. Thank you, Marguerite. We all want dreams like that. The dream, yes. The dream that I had was similar, but I was in a house, and I was all dressed to go to a ball. I had on a beautiful dress. But that was, I didn't have my shoes on, hadn't had my nails done, didn't have my hair done, but I just felt beautiful. I was ready to go. I walked past the front door, and behind the screen door, I saw my date coming up the walk. I saw him coming up the walk, and he was almost to the door, and I realized, oh, my hair's not done. I'm not altogether prepared, but I was clothed, and I know that what the color of the dress was. It was pure white. And I didn't realize it till I was sharing this dream with my son, older son. I said, I guess I just wasn't ready yet. He's almost here. I have more to do. And I had in the dream, I had sisters around me, about three or four sisters in the house that were going to help, you know, get me prepared. And John said, well, Mom, what was the color of your dress? I went, oh, yeah. You know, he had my heart. It was a white dress. I was ready. Doesn't matter if I do the hair, et cetera. But, you know, more and more I feel like the Lord is going to talk to us about being a bride. He does it all the time, but I think something's going to ratchet up. Linda, I know you have a wonderful testimony, and I know Debbie does too. If you want to wait till next week or this week, it's up to you, honey. Next week? Okay. Linda. What did the Lord do for you? What didn't he? We've got props and everything.
Let's see. I'm really not going to take a long time. And I think of all the things that happened before and then the retreat and after, I'm just amazed. But first of all, I want to thank Melissa, because there was a word spoken over you, forerunner, right? Isn't that what Wendy said? You're a forerunner, and that's a proclaimer of things to happen. And so a sign that something is going to happen. And Susie and some others that were praying before the retreat, and she felt like there was this shift happening. And we were talking about this at the brunch a couple weeks ago. So, that shift has been happening in my life. And it's been a process, but I just felt like at the retreat, I came expectant. You know, a lot of times when I go somewhere like this, I'm thinking, oh, I'm not going to get much sleep. You know, nobody wants to room with me. You know, these are thoughts in the past I would have. And the Lord's been working on me with regards to training my brain, and from reading the book, just all our thoughts, all the words, the spoken words, or the self words that we speak to ourselves, he's really been working on me to change that. Like, you know, when I start going down one of those roads, ooh, you know, get out of there, come back. And so I said, Lord, just show me a word. I would love to have a word for the weekend. So I saw it up on the wall. Hope. So I said, hope. Oh, my goodness, I love that word. That's the word I'm going to take. And oops. I bought it. Oh, I bought it. Yes, I bought it. Okay. Okay, so I love words. I love playing around with words. I love scrambling them up. I love words within words. Is it upside down?
Nope.
Oh, okay. So hope is confident awaiting. I love that. You know, you can choose a lot of different definitions, but confident awaiting. And that's where I wanted to be poised. And so then I looked at the word, there's hop. There's hop in the word hope. So I looked it up, and there it's a verb and a noun. And so if you take the noun, it's it was event or celebratory hoedown. So I like that. Then the verb, of course, is abounding. So I want to be abounding in hope. And so I have a little sanctuary in my house now. Since Joy is gone, that's our youngest daughter, her room has become my little sanctuary. So I'm putting words up, you know, just that I can sit in there and just gaze upon the words. And this is a nice big one for me. Oh, yeah, I found it at Sandy Cove. Yeah. Yeah, the gift shop there. So I've been listening to a lot of Steve Backlund, and somebody gave this to me for my birthday. Well, it took me a couple weeks to start it, because I said, living from the unseen. I thought, wow, that's heavy. But so I started reading it, and it's just like my spirit inside was starting to come alive. And it's like Kristen was saying that, you know, that spirit within us is bigger than our flesh. I said, oh my gosh, you know, and we can get so caught up in all what the devil can do or darkness and this and that, but we have light. And, you know, there's just, you know, we are just clothed in light. And no matter what part of darkness we go to, we're there, we're light. We affect our environment. And I love that. I love thinking that I affect my environment wherever I go. And I've seen some fruit from that already. I'm just so excited. So a couple things. I mean, I could go on and on. But there's two things. There's a verse and Romans 15:13, and I've been trying to say that every day. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so the Holy Spirit can abound in us, mean overflow in us, so the power of the Holy Spirit can abound in us. And I go, yes, Lord. And then the other thing she had quoted Henry David Thoreau. And, you know, for anything to become a habit, we have to do it over and over again. Let's see, I think it was on 23. Because I could never repeat it. Let's see if I can find it here. Sorry. I put it on my Facebook page. Oh, thank you. Yay. Okay, Henry David Thoreau once said, as a single footstep will not make a path on the earth, so a single thought will not make a pathway in the mind. To make a deep physical path, we walk again and again. To make a deep mental path, we must think over and over the kind of thoughts we wish to dominate our lives. Amen. Okay, so one last thought. So, hope for 2014 Women's Retreat. So, this is my little jar I'm keeping in my my sanctuary. And I thought, this is how Randy thinks. If I can put away $5 a week or $20 a month or whatever towards next year, we don't have a definite thing, but I'm in hope that we're going to do this again next year. This is hope for our women's retreat again. And also to say that the connection with all the women was wonderful, and we missed everybody that couldn't be there. That's for sure. You're with us in our hearts and spirit. And just, you know, Allison's poem, I haven't gotten that yet, but, you know, she had a wonderful poem and did a great job of connecting us in the beginning. Enough said.
Awesome. So who said, I think, therefore I am? Who said that? Paul? No. Somebody said it. Profound. I think, you know?
The guy chasing women?
Descartes? Yeah, it's profound. I think. Okay. Well, we can add on that. I think, therefore I am beloved, son of God, daughter of God, more than an overcomer through him who loves me. You fill in the blank. I think, therefore I am. It's powerful. All right. Okay. It's by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I, my morning time this morning with the Lord, I felt like the Holy Spirit said that some of you, probably all of us, we need faith for something specific in our lives. We need to believe God for something in our lives. And that the Lord wants to encourage you this morning that faith is coming to you this morning. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So as Randy speaks this morning, faith is going to come to you for something that you need to believe God for. Okay? So I just share that, put that out there, release that to raise your expectation as we welcome Randy to come and speak to us this morning. Let's welcome Randy.
Thank you, Fred. I will mention one thing about Deneen Yates coming. She is part of our church, believe it or not. They hardly are ever able to come on Sundays because there's so many commitments with her ministry. But just to orient us, That's the Sunday after the Thanksgiving weekend. So I don't know if, how many of us are, it seems weird. Usually you have another Sunday after Thanksgiving before you get into December. So this is December 1st. So just for what that's worth, it's kind of an odd type of deal there. Well, who knows where we've been going here for the last several months, scripturally? Minor prophets, thank you, wow. And we've covered a good number of them. As you can see, all the ones highlighted in yellow are the ones we've covered. Today I'm going to share out of Malachi. And we'll be sharing out of two more before the series is over. We won't cover all 12, but we're doing two more before we end this series. And as a reminder, every one of the minor prophets pretty much follows the same outline. There's a warning of judgment. There's a description of sin. There's a description of judgment. There's a call for repentance. And there's a promise of future deliverance. And these prophets spoke during a particular time in Israel's history. Some of them spoke prior to the exile. Some of them had a specific focus. Obadiah, that we looked at one time, was focused on Edom. And Fred shared a two-part message on Jonah that was focused on Nineveh. And then during the exile, there were none of the prophets that were considered minor prophets spoke. But after the exile, we have three of the prophets speaking, and the last of which is Malachi, which is whom we're going to look at today. So I've subtitled this message, Words Matter. Malachi, Words Matter. And as I was preparing for this message and reading through Malachi, I've read through it several times now, all the minor prophets, as we've done this series. But as I was reading through it, I thought, you know, this reminds me of something. I said, you know, this reminds me of what Jesus was dealing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And it also reminds me of something of what we're facing today in our world today. And so I didn't want to just go on my own inkling, my own thoughts, because I don't consider myself a biblical scholar. And, you know, it's really dangerous to draw out of scriptures things that you think are true without substantial evidence that they are. So I went to a commentary by Charles Feinberg. Anybody know who Charles Feinberg is? This man was an incredible man. He came from an Orthodox Jewish family and was studying to be a rabbi. And in 1935, he came to faith in Yeshua as his Messiah through Chosen People Ministries, which still is working today in the world. Long before what we would consider today the modern messianic movement, he came to faith, became a phenomenal biblical scholar, and wrote commentaries on all the minor prophets, which were recently compiled in one volume. But this particular portion on Malachi was written in 1951. And notice what he said. The spirit of the people manifested in his day, speaking of Malachi, developed into the sects of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Went, wow. Hit that one, right? The moral and spiritual conditions of Israel in his day are those of professing Christendom today, 60 years ago. Wow. Yeah, double wow. And so that brings me to the question, what were the sins that stirred up Malachi? What were the sins that he was speaking against in the scriptures that we hold? Well, there were three that we want to look at, or that three that stood out the strongest. The first was the defilement of the priesthood. The priests were offering unholy sacrifices. They were not following the law and offering their sacrifices. The second was foreign marriages with divorce of, and this is his word, the Israelitish wives. Now, the scripture forbade marrying women that were not Israeli, were not Jewish. But the problem was compounded by the fact that what they were doing, the religious leaders were doing this. They were divorcing their wives, their Jewish wives, who had been faithful to them for all their lifetimes, and going and marrying foreign women. Wow. That's heavy duty, isn't it? And as you know, we've shared this before, Fred and I have, and I think most of you were anyway, that, you know, when a woman became a divorcee in that day, she was destitute. She was destitute. So they were basically taking a woman who had been faithful to them all their lives, all their married lives, born their children, et cetera, and saying, nah, I'm training you in for a younger model. And, you know, and not only that, but a woman that's not even of the same faith. The third thing is the neglect of the tithes and offerings. People were not tithing. They were not giving of their offerings. And what all of this can be summed up in chapter 2 and verse 2, where we read, if you don't listen and if you don't take it to heart to honor my name, then God proceeds to talk about the curses that will pour out. But I want us to look at it this way. You don't listen and you don't take it to heart to honor my name. That's the dilemma. Not listening and not taking it to heart to honor God's name. So I've subtitled this message this morning, are you true to your word? Are you true to your word? And I want to share with you a video. I've got a couple videos, but I want to share with you one to begin with that sort of underscores this. And Aaron's going to, we're going to drop the PowerPoint and show it separately, okay?
We thank you so much for the wonderful day. We ask you to bless the food so lovingly prepared for today. And we praise you for the opportunity to fellowship together and to show forth the love of the Lord towards one another and to anyone around us.
Amen. Abel, I want you to make sure to eat your vegetables and not just the sweet stuff. Did you wash your hands?
Oh, come on, Mom. We're at the park having a picnic. My hands aren't dirty. Besides, we just came from church. How could they be?
Knowing you, Abel, you were probably picking your nose or some other gross thing. Your hands are always dirty.
Sarah, that is no way to start this picnic.
Just because you're a teen doesn't mean you know everything.
Yeah, listen to Mom. She rocks.
Oh, come on. You don't even know what rocks means. You're such a loser.
Oh, yeah, well. Seen so many all at once before.
One pig acknowledging another. How quaint. Some cool rides, though.
Sarah, this is Sunday, and we're trying to enjoy a pleasant lunch. Please mind your tongue,
yes,
young lady.
Yes, you too.
Just ignore that bunch of troublemakers.
Listen to your mother and just eat your lunch. We don't want to be hanging around here too long. Not with that bunch here. We'll just have to find another park. It looks like this one's going to the dogs. Or hogs.
Well, Harold, it seems like we finally agree upon something. Hurry up and eat, kids.
And should all be locked up if you ask me. Look how disrespectful they are. Don't they know this is a public park?
disgusting is that? Pass the germs, please. Yuck.
Can't look at that table, man.
Hogs on hogs. Right on.
Well, maybe not, but if they're going to do it in a public place, they could at least try. Harold, you're acting just like them. Don't you kids ever display such gross manners.
Oh my. Oh my God. They're coming over here. Harold, do something.
And just what would you have me do, Helen? Just don't look. Don't look, and maybe they won't come over here.
Sir, we have plenty left over. Would you and your family like to partake in communion?
That was fun, huh? So what were we seeing there? What's a word that would describe what we witnessed in that video?
Judgment.
Judgment. Good. Chaos. Say it louder, Karen.
Hypocrisy.
Ah. Anybody else?
Surprise.
Yeah. Well, hypocrisy. That's a word that I believe underscores what Malachi was writing about. In fact, the word was a Greek word, and it was not used in the connotation or in the context that we use it today or even was used by Jesus. The word meant an actor or an actress. That was a hypocrite. They were simply somebody that was acting like somebody they really weren't. And then Jesus came on the scene, and he had a few words to say to the Sadducees and the Pharisees, calling them, what? Hypocrites. I want to look at one of those scriptures this morning. If you have your Bibles and like to turn with me, or your iPhones or your iPads. I have to admit, I'm getting more and more used to this. I used to think there's no way I could enjoy something electronic more than the written pages of the Word of God. And it doesn't quite equal it, but I've got about 7 different translations. And when I highlight in one, it highlights in all 7. And it's really cool. And I'm like able to go back and forth and look. And it's like, I like this. Well, Matthew 7. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you today, again, this morning, for the privilege of plumbing the depths of your word. God, we believe it's a sacred word. We believe, Father, that it's divinely inspired. We believe, Lord, that it has just as much application for our lives today as it did 2,000, 2,500, 3,000 years ago, whatever time period we're looking at, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for that. We thank you that your word is an eternal truth, and we wish to apply that truth to our lives today. So help us to understand how it's to be applied, the ways in which we need to study it and to understand it and to follow it. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. To whom was Jesus speaking? The Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious people of his day. And for the benefit of some of the new people here this morning, how do you remember which was which? One group of people believed that there was life after death. The other believed that once you died, that's it.
How do we remember which was which? That's right. Y'all remember. Thank you. That's right. The Sadducees did not believe in life after death, and that's why they were sad, you see. So we had the Sadducees and the Pharisees. So, good. There are some people here that haven't heard that before, I can tell. All right. So, I don't know how you feel when you read scriptures like this, and Jesus, in Matthew 23, we'll look at one part of that, but the whole discourse, the whole chapter, he goes, you hypocrite, you hypocrite, you hypocrite. These chapters really unnerve me, because he's talking to whom? To us, to the religious people. Yeah, he's not talking to the publican and the sinner whom he's dining with and who he's having fellowship with. And to this day I'm challenged by the fact that not only was he spending time with them, but they seemed to what? They wanted to spend time with him. Yeah, they invited him to their parties. We want Jesus to come to our party. Now, some of us are so religious that we would not get invited to a party. They were saying, we don't want them to come. They're going to spoil the party, you know. But Jesus was in the middle of the party, somehow was able to live in a way that he was not sinning, yet he was loved by the people of that party, and he was accepting of them. That really challenges me. That's my goal, is to be like Jesus. I want to be there like that in the midst. I'm working on it. I've had a couple occasions where it's happened, but I'm not there yet, that's for sure. And so he's talking to us, the religious people of our day, as he was of his day. Now, let me be clear, though. I know it's a funny picture, isn't it? When are our actions, you can laugh, it's okay. We laughed a lot last night, by the way. You missed our laughter time last night. It was good. When are our actions not hypocritical? When are they not hypocritical? When you were asleep. Well, all of us, how many of you have said something you regretted saying? How many of you have done something that you regretted doing? Yeah. How many of you haven't done something that you wish you'd done? Or haven't said something that you wish you'd said. Yeah, every one of us. Absolutely. So it's wrong to say that you were acting hypocritically. Or it's wrong to say about another brother or sister, oh, they were a hypocrite because they did this or they said that. Okay? We all sin. We all fail. We all fall. And doing that as we do is not hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is when we're acting differently than we really are. And we're doing that on a regular basis. We're all, you know, many of us are like this bass. You know, this guy caught this bass, and the bass, wide-mouth bass, said, if I'd kept my mouth shut, I wouldn't be here. Mounted on his wall. Or some of us, like the Trappist monks. Anybody, these monks, they take a vow of silence. Anybody would love to live a life like that? I know somebody. I won't name the person, but I asked this question to another group, and one person raised their hand. And I said, really, you'd really like to be a monk like that? And he said, well, I just would prefer to be around somewhere where everybody's not talking so much. It was a guy too. So, I'm sorry, I didn't go to the slide, did I? There's the Trappist monk. Sorry, there they are. So these guys. So in a similar situation, there were a similar group of monks, but these guys could talk every 7 years, but they could only say two words. So the abbot gets together with the guy after 7 years, first 7 years, says, what are your two words? He goes, food stinks. I said, okay. So 7 years later, says to him, what are your two words? He goes, bed's hard. So he goes, okay. 7 years later, he sees him again. He says, what are your two words? He says, I quit. He says, well, I'm not surprised. All you've done is complained ever since you got here. Well, I need to make you laugh because this next video is a little more poignant. Yeah, this is going to hit you. Keep smiling, so when you get hit between the teeth, you'll still be smiling, okay?
They are good people, but a lot of times, you know, I think that they kind of go out and try to act like, I mean, they do good things, but not for good the sake of doing good things, but to make themselves look better in the community or for God or whatever they think they need to do.
I think they're brainwashed. I think they're closed-minded. Only some of them, though. Some, I feel like they are just on a one-track mind. They go by the Bible and that's it.
I think of oblivious people that tend to be very hypocritical and closed-minded.
I get a mixed thought. I mean, Christian is such a broad definition of men. Protestants and Catholics in Scotland who hate each other without knowing a reason. And I've met a lot of people who are agnostic, a lot of people here who are very, very fundamental. Good people, good heart.
They're a lot different than me. I mean, they don't go out and party or have a decent time, what I would consider a decent time every once in a while.
They tend to be very judgmental and closed-minded. Like their opinion and their beliefs are right and the ultimate beliefs, so.
They spend their Sundays in church while I don't. That's pretty much the difference.
All right, so these are actual interviews with high school students. Any thoughts that come to your mind immediately? Just some feedback. Just a couple things that come to your mind when you hear that, see that. Uninformed, okay? Some of it's true. How many Christians do they really know? Okay. Anybody else? Any other thoughts? How'd this impact you? Paul.
I think there can be some way in which they don't want the same standard.
Okay. Some ways they don't want the same standard. Okay. Yeah. Sure I am. I know I'm asking a loaded question. Christianity has a bad rap, Aaron said. I'm repeating for the benefit of people listening on the tape here. Yeah. Okay. Lynn said whoever they ran into as a Christian did not communicate in an appropriate way. Yes, Lisa in the back. Okay. Yeah. Lisa's saying, you know, we believe what we see on TV, and not always that's a very good presentation of our faith. Yes. Joseph. Mm-hmm. Distorted opinion of what Christianity actually is. Okay. All right. Yes.
I think the problem is the term. There are lots of people who call themselves Christians because their father or mother is a believer. That's the problem.
Okay. Lots of people call themselves Christians, but they really don't act that way. Okay.
There's good and bad in every group.
Okay. Good and bad in every group.
Doctors, I
mean, yeah.
People just highlight the negative ones.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So every group has their good and their bad. Yeah. Well, let me just tweak your thinking slightly. Appreciate all these comments, and I agree with them. But in Jesus' day, he was accusing the religious people of being what? Hypocrites. Could it be that God is using today people that aren't of our faith to look at us and call us hypocrites? Yeah. And so
you know, the old adage, if the if the shoe fits, wear it, okay? In what ways are we or could we be acting as hypocrites? I'd like to suggest to you that probably one of the biggest problems we face, one of the biggest challenges we face is religion. Religion. And that's what the Sadducees and the Pharisees lived in, religion. Religion can be very comfortable. It can be very safe. It's very predictable. You walk in certain, and I'm not saying everything's wrong. Now, don't hear me incorrectly. But it can create an environment that is alien to what the rest of the world has experienced. And it can create a duplicity in us, which we call hypocrisy. I just read a thing on the internet, very interesting, one of the emails I get actually. And this person was talking about one of the problems in Islam. In Islam, you can't eat pork, but a number of Muslims are addicted to pornography. So he's challenging these Muslims. He's saying, you say, will you eat pork? He says, you know, he goes into a computer store and he says, hey, guys, do y'all have any pork here? Any pork for sale? They go, what? No way. We'd never do that. No. We don't eat pork. We wouldn't touch it. Oh, well, how come you're selling all this pornography? So you're saying that, as Jesus said, that it's that the food goes into the person and right back out of him. But it's what it goes into our what? Our hearts. And he says, you're corrupting the hearts and minds of young men and women, or young men primarily, with what? Pornography. You say that's okay, but pork is not. What do you hear in that? Hypocrisy. Okay? Now, I'm not, you all know my heart and desire for Muslims to come to faith, so I'm not targeting them. I'm targeting what? Religion. Yeah. Religious spirit that creates this hypercritical way of living. I appreciated what my wife shared this morning, and let me leave you with this word. Our words are seeds planted in other people's lives. Our words are seeds planted in other people's lives. So what words are we using? What are we saying? Jesus said that we often have a beam in our eyes and we're trying to get the speck out of our brother's eye. We're not removing the beam from our eye. And as he talked about the Sadducees and the Pharisees, his criticisms of them were these. He said they were more concerned about the praise of man than in God's approval. He said they were guilty of judging others' faults and ignoring their own. And he said there was a conflict between their external actions and their internal attitudes. Yeah. And so we need to ask ourselves, I'm asking myself, you know, where do I fall on this spectrum? Am I more concerned about the praise of man than God's approval? Or am I guilty of judging others' faults and ignoring my own? Or is there a conflict between my external actions and my internal attitudes? And this is the heart of the matter, even as was also, I love what was expressed this morning. It's amazing. It just fit in perfectly. Jesus in Matthew 23, in this long discourse, which again, we're just going to look at these two verses from it, 25 and 26. He said, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside, they are full of what? Greed and self-indulgence. Greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will be clean. Wow. Penetrating words, aren't they? Piercing words. We're full of greed and self-indulgence. And then Jesus went on to say in Matthew 15, he said, but whatever comes out of the mouth comes from the heart, and this is what makes a man unclean and defiles him. So Jesus is concerned about the issues of our hearts. And I'd like to suggest to you
I'm going to go out on a limb here a little bit. Maybe I have already. I'd like to suggest to you that there was an era when Christians were told that they shouldn't dance, they shouldn't play cards. Some of you grew up in some of those cultures. I can see heads shaking. Shouldn't go to movies, shouldn't drink, run around with those that do, etc. And so that pendulum has moved, that's shifted. But who do you think is the most judgmental? If someone sees you going into a movie that maybe perhaps they think you shouldn't, or playing cards when you shouldn't, who are the judgmental people? Do you think the world's judging you? No. Say it louder. Other Christians. They're the ones. Oh, guess who I saw going into that movie the other week? Oh. And then what do they do? Jabber, 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 jabber. Gossip, gossip, gossip. All over. Spread the word. You know. Fred has a motorcycle. I think he has a secret agenda. So does Michael. I saw you. You were getting excited about that video. Now I know why. Yes. Yeah, I think he is. Yeah, oh, another one back in the back. Yes. Well, but I don't think they judge us in that way, you see. I think it's we judge one another in that way. I'm going to suggest this is how the world judges us, okay? You didn't come to me when I was sick because you were too busy going to your Christian meetings. When I came to the door and knocked because I had a problem that I needed help with, you couldn't come and help me because you were too busy with your Bible study. When you saw me on the side of the road, you didn't take the time to stop and help me because you were too busy going to your next meeting. When you saw me at the restaurant sitting there and you could tell that I was in need and that I was suffering and that something was bothering me, you ignored me because you didn't want to talk to somebody that you didn't think shared your faith or that you thought perhaps was dressed differently than you or was acting differently than you would normally act. When you realized that my lifestyle was different than yours, you wouldn't take the time to just sit down and show me the love of God and speak to me and try to encourage me and help me along the path. You judged me. You left me alone. You wouldn't speak words of hope to me. Or how about just simply helping somebody without an agenda? We all want people to come to faith. It's one of the deepest things that burns in my heart. But can I just reach out to somebody if they never, ever come to faith? Reach out to them just because I'm to show them the love of God. I'm to be Jesus' hands and feet. When I fail to do that, who am I acting like? The Sadducees and the Pharisees. That's exactly the way they acted. The opposite of what I'm describing, or the way I'm describing it, not reaching out. That's what Jesus accused them of. That was the problem he had with them. Was the hypocrisy. Oh, they had the law down. I mean, he said they even tithed of their herbs. I mean, that's pretty amazing. Yeah, to think about that. I mean, they had it down pat, but they wouldn't stop to help somebody. They wouldn't stop to show love. They wouldn't stop to show mercy and kindness. This is what God's calling us to do, church. This is what he's... Thank you for putting us in the dark there, Lorraine. That's okay. That's a little too much. Sorry, you got to flick another switch there. There you go. Thank you. That's okay. No problem. Yeah, get my thoughts back here. Thank you. You know, some of you know the name Reinhard Bonnke. Bless this man. I honor him. What I want to say next is not intended to be dishonoring or discrediting of him. But he's done these tremendous
mass revivals in Africa. Maybe millions of people have come to faith because of what he's done, God's done through him. He says he wants to do the same thing in America, to return to America what we've given him. I have to be honest with you. I don't think it's going to work in America. Who is it that needs to come to faith in America? Well, the church. The millennial generation, the 20-somethings, they number more than the baby boomers. There is this huge, enormous exodus from the church of the baby boomers. I mean, of the millennials, excuse me. They're not going to come to that stadium. Guess who's going to come? All of us. Yeah, we're going to, if they're packed, they're going to be packed with people like us. Yeah, all right, preach it, Reinhardt. Yeah, yes, brother. Oh, we love the worship. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then who's outside of us? All these people dying without God, without Christ. Justin shared last night, and this is what I believe God wants to do. I agree with what Justin said. And I, again, I don't discredit. I mean, what happened in Africa is tremendous. What happened through Billy Graham in the 50s was tremendous. That was an era. That was an epic. I don't dishonor or discredit any of that. God used every bit of that. But I believe what he wants to use today is you and me going out of the four walls, into the marketplace, into the place where people are who will never come to church, and engage them in the place they're at and show them the love of Jesus. And as we do that, we shed our religious clothes. As we do that, we shed our hypocrisy. As we do that, we begin to walk as Jesus walked. We begin to do what Jesus did. It's a tall order, isn't it? It's a very tall order. Paul, writing in Romans chapter 12, says, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." This is the English Standard Version. I like that. Outdo one another in showing honor. Wow. That's who God wants us to be about. Malachi, in his concluding words, and this is one thing I especially love about all these prophets, as God speaks through them, he talks about his concerns, he talks about the way in which they've erred and sinned, etc., but he always comes back to hope. He always comes back to a promise. And again, in the Jewish Bible, Malachi is actually not the last book. But in our Bibles, it is. And in that last book, in those last verses, we read, "Look, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. And the hearts of the children," thank you, Fred, "to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse." He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Amen. Stand with me, please. I know every one of us can think of times and ways in which we've acted hypocritically and failed to properly represent the Lord. And I know we all want to serve God and to do His will. I just want to ask you now, though, to examine your hearts and just say, "Lord, is there an area in my heart, maybe I haven't seen it, and I'm acting in a way that's hypocritical. I'm not walking in the way that you want me to walk. I'm not showing the life of Jesus the way you want me to show it. I'm bound by some sort of religion or religious obligations," or whatever we might say, "that have kept me from really being who you've called me to be." Let's just take a minute and just look into your hearts and just ask the Lord. You don't have to do any mining. We don't have to go deep into the core of the earth of your being. If it's there, the Lord will expose it. And if it's not there, don't try to create something. But let's just take a minute to examine ourselves. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. Lord, I thank you for every man, every woman who's here this morning, for those who are not able to be with us today. Lord, I thank you for your body worldwide, for all those who call upon your name, wherever they may be living, whatever state of being they may be in today. And Lord, I thank you for those that you're going to be adding to your kingdom today, tomorrow, next week, those who you're joining to your family. Thank you, Father. Lord, help us to be the people you've called us to be. Help us to walk like Jesus walked, to talk like Jesus talked, to love and to serve as Jesus served, Lord. Help us to be your examples, your body, your people, Lord. Lord, help us to see beyond ourselves, Lord. Jesus accused the Sadducees, the Pharisees, of greed and self-indulgence. Lord, free us of any snares of greed or self-indulgence that would hold us back from your best, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you walk with us each day. Thank you, Father, that you talk with us along the way. Thank you, Lord, that you use us to grow your kingdom. Lord, your prayer that you taught us to pray was that your kingdom would come and that your will would be done on this earth. Lord, that's our cry, Lord. May the kingdom of God come. May the will of God be done in this earth, we pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, as these opportunities come our way, because I believe you're going to bring them. I believe because I've preached this, you're going to test me and you're going to test every one of us. Lord, you're going to bring us opportunities to reach out to people, to someone that we might not be as comfortable to reach out to. Or a circumstance that we might find ourselves having to reach beyond our comfort zone. Lord, give us the grace, give us the strength, give us the courage and the power to reach beyond and to do what Jesus would do. We see it time and time again, talking to the woman at the well, speaking to those who are about to stone a woman caught in adultery, healing a blind man in the midst of the synagogue, in the midst of the, healing a lame man as he's lowered down through a roof, doing on the Sabbath that which those that he wanted to reach, his own brothers and sisters, accused him of breaking the Sabbath. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, I pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We love you, Lord. It's a joy and an honor and a privilege to serve you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You know, faith, the Bible says, is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet seen. So, conviction comes, too, when we hear God's word. And as I was standing there, what came to my mind was, just a few days ago, I was in my car, and somebody was on the road asking for money. And I thought I did a good deed. I gave him some money. But what happened was he took the money and he didn't say anything. He just walked away. And when he left, I felt like disappointed. And he didn't even say thank you. And I didn't realize until this morning, hearing Randy's word, that I wasn't giving unconditionally. I was giving conditionally. I wanted something back. And then I just was reminded of Jesus who healed the 10 lepers. And only one came back and gave thanks. But it didn't stop him from continuing just to pray over anybody and everyone, unconditionally, giving it away, whether they came back and said thanks or not. Sure, it's good when they do, but this shouldn't keep you from, you shouldn't do it for that reason. So, I believe faith has come to us all this morning in some way, shape, or form so that we can become more like Jesus. So, if you would like any prayer before you leave this morning, just come on up and...